It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 7:07 on a Saturday morning, 53 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, here to help you be more successful and bring a little happiness into your life every Saturday morning. And don't forget, you can ask questions not only over by phone, 404-872-0750, but also on Twitter. If you have a Twitter account, go to Twitter and just make a question, whatever you want to ask me, hashtag AskWalter. Put hashtag AskWalter in there with your question. Ashley will read them. And if she finds one interesting enough to go on there, which most of them will be, I'm sure, she'll read it on the air and we'll get it answered. So Twitter, hashtag AskWalter. Now, let's give away, we got time here. Ashley, let's give away a weekend prize pack. We have, as Ashley considers the number between 2 and 7, the steam is rising from her forehead, a pair of tickets to see David Crosby and Friends on November 18th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, produced by ASO Presents, and a family four-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at the Infinite Energy Arena. David Crosby. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, but his Friends will be there. And who will win this valuable prize pack?
Caller number 4.
To our contest line, 404-741-0750. Fourth caller gets to go see David Crosby and Friends. Ann is in Greensboro, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Ann. Good morning.
Morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on?
I have a dilemma. I ordered way too many bulbs.
Oh, man.
And so my question is, I have Bermuda grass, and I know when Bermuda starts greening up. Do you think you can plant them in the grass?
Let me get started. My curiosity is aroused. When you say way too many, how much is way too many, Ann?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
If somebody dear and near and dear that is interested in your wallet is listening right now, then don't say how much they cost.
So quickly, last year I put in 230.
Wow!
And I ordered some from the Athens Clark County Master Gardeners.
Good.
And I thought I ordered 100, but then 200 came. I don't know how that happens.
Better than 1,000, that extra zero sometimes really make a difference. 200, all right, we got 200.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you want to, what do you want to do? And
I've run out of places to put them. So I want to know, can I plant them in my Bermuda grass?
What kind of bulbs are we talking about here?
They're really nice big daffodils.
Like daffs, okay.
Yeah.
Boy, you're not going to do them any favors because you're going to want to mow your lawn way before the leaves turn yellow and die off as daffodils would prefer you do. I think that's a dumb idea to put them in your lawn. I give you an answer straight from right here, right now. Uh-oh, that's dumb.
There are
people, I am positive, there are people in Greensboro, schools, churches, someplace that would like a donation of 25 daffodil bulbs, a graveyard. Go find somebody that's dead and put the daffodils over their grave and make it pretty there.
All righty. That's what I'll do. It looks like people are getting bulbs for Christmas.
Oh, and there's Christmas coming up, too. Yeah. Christmas as well. 200 bulbs to get rid of. That's a nice dilemma for a lot of people to have a lot of bulbs. Too many to plant in your own landscape. But I bet there are a lot of people who would appreciate the gift and appreciate the planting if you want to do that to them as well.
Okay. Thanks, Walter.
Hey, Ann. Thanks so much for calling. Great question. 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Heather and Ella J, she joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Heather. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about planting perennial seeds for flowers like foxglove and Shasta daisies, and there's some other ones.
Yeah.
Now versus waiting until the spring.
Can you water them just a tiny little bit?
Oh, yeah.
If you can water them a tiny little bit, you're off to the races. Go for
really?
It.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Shasta Daisy in particular needs a little vernalization. It needs a little cold weather in the wintertime to make the seeds happy.
Mm-hmm.
The foxglove, if you can get it to sprout right now, that'll be terrific because I imagine this is going to be on a biennial schedule, which means that they have to have some leaves on them before they're going to flower. And so if you get some leaves on them right now, then maybe next year they'll flower for you. But typically foxglove take 2 years to flower. So keep an eye on that bed. And if the leaves come and form little rosettes everywhere, don't worry if they don't flower next year. Think they're going to do it 2018. I know they will. And plant something else around it just to hide those little foxglove rosettes there.
Should I cover the seeds with mulch after a while, like when it gets down to freezing?
I'm hopeful we're going to have enough warm weather. I wasn't originally thinking we'd be in the middle of November and not have even a frost yet.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll sprout. They'll be little bitty things. I mean, they're going to be very small.
Okay.
I don't think I would mulch them. I don't think I would. I think the mulch is going to do more harm than good. And until they're up 2 or 3 inches high, I don't think this mulch is going to make any good things happen to them.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and I'm going to get to planting.
All right, have fun. How's the fire? How's the weather up there in the fire?
It's smoky. I mean, I can smell the smoke in the house.
Yeah.
But it seems to be getting better. It's blowing another way.
Right. So there's no fires near LJ right now?
Not near where I am. I'm closer to Carter's Lake.
Okay.
And they seem to be going the other way, and we've been okay over there so far.
All right. Well, do be careful and
keep
your eyes out, because big columns of smoke anywhere near your house are not good things to see right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Lots of trees.
Yeah. Be safe, Heather. We'll see you soon.
Thank you much. Bye.
Nita is in Mapleton. By the way, our phone number, 404-872-0750. We're plowing through these questions. Bing, bang, boom, like that. 404-872-0750. And Nita joins us in Mapleton. Hey, Nita. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. I have a question, please. I am considering what to me is a big project, replacing all the foundation plants in front of my house. And just with this drought we seem to be in, mm-hmm. I mean, I realize fall is the best time to plant, but I just don't want to throw my money away or, just want to make sure I'm making the right decision. So I'm just looking for your advice.
Plant them now.
Okay.
But see, that was so easy. I gave you the answer right there. The only caveat to that advice is plant them now, but water them. And that would be normal advice, whether it's raining or shining or drought or whatever we have. You have to water any plant, but it's going to be so much better to be planted now than it will be next spring.
Okay.
I don't care if it's raining all spring.
I was trying to weigh out this water situation and all that. So,
rules right now say you can water, and they always will, by the way, say that you can water newly planted things for 30 days after planting, no matter what the other water restrictions are. Even if it's odd and even, you can still water things for 30 days. And so all the shrubbery that you put in for your foundation, water it every day or two using your judgment to keep the soil moist but not soggy.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be so much happier next year that you plant them in the fall.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Nita.
Bye-bye.
7:15, who we got next coming in here? We got Jerry. Jerry is in Comer, Georgia. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
Morning, how you morning. Doing?
I'm all right. What's going on?
My peach trees, I have a jelly-like ooze coming from two or three of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's boar worms or something like that, I'm not sure.
That's the first thing everybody thinks, but it's not necessarily the first thing I think of on peach trees. How old are the trees in the first place, Jerry?
They're between 4 and 5 years old. They're just beginning to really produce good fruit, and I'm really concerned about it. I want to know. My uncle used to give me lindane.
Yeah, for borers, that's a great one. Well, it used to be. It's not available anymore, but it used to be the insecticide for borer control was lindane.
Mm-hmm.
So the ooze that's coming out, is it coming out of a hole in the bark, or is it coming out of vertical splits in the bark?
Hey, I'm not sure, but I would say that it's Probably a hole because it comes out from a pretty much localized spot.
Okay.
It's not like it's up and down the side of the tree or anything.
All right, we got homework then for Jerry. Go outside today, get a little bucket, sit on mm-hmm. top of the bucket, and bring a gym clip, a little paper clip, and a pen knife with you because you're going to scrape the gum off of the bark and see if you can find the hole the gum is coming out of. And with a mm-hmm. gym clip, poke it down in there and see if you find anything. The borer is not necessarily going to be at the end of that hole, but you might be in a place that you can poke him real good. This is gross to be talking about on the radio on a Saturday morning when people are eating breakfast right now, but you might see a little white spurt coming out of that hole. If you do, then you got the borer. If not, then the borer has turned to the sideways and is boring underneath the bark in different directions, and you won't be able to reach it with the gym clip that way. But you want to ascertain if it is coming directly from a hole that looks like was constructed by a creature. If
right.
it's coming from a crack, from a vertical crack in the bark, that to me sometimes is drought stress, establishment stress, root stress, some other stress kind of thing, not so much borers.
Mm-hmm.
And for okay. that, it's just increase your care, make sure you fertilize correctly, make sure you're watering correctly during the summertime, all the things that alleviate stress. But go out there with a penknife. Let's find out where the gum is coming from and do some homework for figuring it out.
I'll do it. And one more question.
Real quick.
When should I cut these trees? Like I said, they're 4 to 5 years old and they're beginning to get bushy, and I want to cut them back, trim them up. And when's the best time and how much should I trim them?
Usually February or early March when the chance of really cold weather is away from us. And mm-hmm. if you want to see a shape to prune towards, the sort of the aim that you'll prune towards, go on my WalterReeves.com website. Just type peach in the search line. And it'll take you 2 or 3 pages about pruning and care and all the varieties and things like that. And just see that because the picture will tell you how to prune it and how to sort of clean up the old brushy stuff that's in that peach tree. It is 7:18. We'll be back right after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
See, I'm smiling.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Hot, dry, cooler though. That's something to look forward to today. The high today in the mid-60s, 64, 65 degrees today. No chance of rain, sadly. And I didn't say hot. While I didn't mean to say hot, I meant to say dry and cooler. It's not going to be hotter. It's going to be mid-60s today. Dry, not much chance of rain. Same thing tomorrow. But the thing to look forward to this afternoon, the University of Georgia Bulldogs, the Auburn Tigers, the pregame show starts at 11:30 here on your home of the Dogs, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And the full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes. Jane is out in Smyrna and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Jane, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I've got some centipede that I need to shift over about 6 square feet. I know I'm afraid this is not the time to do it since it's a warm weather grass.
Yeah.
But I was hoping maybe since we've had such warm, unusually warm weather for so long, there is a possibility. Or should I wait until May or April?
Why do you need to move it?
Well, there was a water line problem, and some of the grass got sucked up in the vacuum truck, and it left a hole in there. So a big, you know, they have dirt in there, but I have to fill it up with some sod, and I can just shift some of it over. So,
how, you said 6 square feet, right?
Yeah, 5 or 6 square feet. It's not a big patch. It's not horrible.
Boy, this is going to be flip a coin. You're right. Okay, obviously, you know, Jane, that's not the time to move warm season grasses. They're pretty dormant right now, even though there may be a little bit of green on top
yeah.
of the ground. The roots are not going anywhere. The temperatures in the soil have cooled down over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So it's not a great time to move it because the roots simply don't get a way to move moisture into the leaves,
mm-hmm.
leaves of the grass. On the other hand, you don't want to be looking at a big muddy hole for all wintertime long. What would be the chances of spreading a little annual ryegrass seed in that area? That's going to look weird, too, because it'll be green in the middle of a big centipede lawn. So if you have a three-sided coin, I think you have, there are those choices. Either A, leave it alone and look at mud. B, shift the centipede and take your chances. C, spread annual ryegrass and look at the green in the middle of the centipede. And I think that is your choice, Miss Jane. You figure it out, because either one of those is not perfect, but one of them is going to be done. I don't know which one you'll end up choosing. It's 727 at News Talk WSB. Our phone number on lawn and garden, 404-872-0750. Or you can tweet me. You can send me a tweet if you have a Twitter account, hashtag AskWalter. Ask me anything. If you're too shy to be on the radio and talk to me by phone, AskWalter on Twitter. We'll be back right after news.
Turn your pain up, game. You never can win, girl. It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 736, 53 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia gardener, here to help you be more successful, whatever you want to do in your landscape. I will tell you whether it's a good idea, a bad idea, or maybe the choices you have to make in between those ideas of what is best for your landscape. And one of the things you can make a choice about right now is, what are you going to be doing next summer? In June, for instance, what are you going to be doing? Sitting around, fanning yourself, thinking, well, nothing happening around here. Or might you want to be in England in the beauty of their late spring, and in London in the beautiful private gardens of London, plus the gardens of the Cotswolds? Flip a coin. Which would you like? Yes, I thought so. You would like to be in England with me. That's exactly the right answer. If you would like to go with my garden group, I have a bunch of people who travel at different times with me throughout the country, throughout the world, to see different gardens and see different historical places and chit-chat along and eat good food throughout, then you can get details on my website at walterreeves.com. Starting June the 2nd next year, we'll be going to London, seeing private gardens, seeing some of the famous gardens as well as some private gardens there, and going on to the Cotswolds, another place that is this green gem of England. It is gorgeous. I mean, how can I else describe it? It is gorgeous. You'll get to come and be with me for that. And by the way, if you have a spouse you'd like to travel with who has nothing to do with gardening, say, spouse, you don't have to be a gardener to come on one of Walter's gardening tours, because he doesn't do just gardening. We do all sorts of things. We go to castles. We do historic stuff. We go to see art museums. And we go to places we think are cool and interesting. Sometimes we just pull the bus off the side of the road and say, let's all get some grapes from the farmer's market. And we rush out and buy grapes and fruit, get back on the bus and keep going. Because we're just that way. It's a small enough group, 20 to maybe 30 people. It's a small enough group. We do whatever we want to, and we bomb around in the places that we visit and have a fabulous time together. Again, details at walterreeves.com. England trip next June. Ashley's going to do a Twitter question in just a minute. Oh, by the way, I'll be at the Marietta Pike. Not so long now. What is the date for that? I forgot. November 26th. In a couple of weeks, I'll be at the November Pike, or at the Marietta Pike in November on the 26th. Ashley, have you gotten a Twitter question?
We sure have. Trish asks a great question in regard to the drought. Yeah. Can you use gray water from the runoff of a washing machine to water plants?
Yeah. My grandmother... Any story that starts with my grandmother's got to be a good one. But back in the dark ages, back before Ashley was even born, before that, there were things called wringer washing machines. And wringer washing machines, as some of my listeners remember, had big round roller wringers to put your clothes through. If you catch your fingers in it, you're going to wham, wham, wham for a while. But the thing about wringer washing machines is it had a drain that you didn't necessarily put in the drain that was in the wall in your basement or your laundry room, and it went to the sewer system, because we did not have a sewer system out in the country. What we had was a big patch of cannas. And my grandmother loved those red cannas more than anything. And where did they get their water from? You got it, the wringer washing machine. And with five kids in cotton diapers, there was a lot of rich water going into the cannas out there. And even today, even if you don't have kids, if you've got washing machine water that you don't apply just tons and tons of water, no, that's not going to be good for your plants. But if you don't have a lot of water in just a regular, normal 2-3-person household, 4-person household, where you're not washing every day and putting tons of water on the cannas or any plant, frankly, then yes, you can put gray water from the washing machine. Totally unregulated gray water reuse is totally encouraged by the state, so sure, put it on your garden and don't worry about it going on gardens. I said garden, and probably it's better to put it on your landscape rather than on a vegetable garden.
You know what I do? What? We both, my husband and I, both bring a glass of water to bed every night.
Yeah.
We don't always finish the water.
Right.
So instead of pouring that down the drain, I bring it out on the back deck and water the plants or water my house plants with it.
And here I was thinking that my husband and I shower together frequently to save water. But
whoa, that's a different show. Different show.
You didn't want to go there. Okay. All right. Well, good. The glass of water by the bed, that's a fine way to do it. Do tell John I was thinking of him during the day.
Totally.
It's 7:40 on a Saturday morning. Sheila is in Jefferson and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Sheila.
Good morning, Walter. Good. I have an 11-year-old magnolia tree, and about 10 years ago I put low-lying evergreens around the they're about 6 foot out in a round circle around them. Mm-hmm. My magnolia tree is looking very, very sickly. Hmm. Dry leaves, it didn't bloom so much this past year. I did water it extra, but it didn't seem to be doing anything for it.
Yeah.
Should I pull those evergreens up?
What evergreens are you putting out there, Sheila?
You know, I think they're like blue spruce or, you know, the real low-lying evergreens.
Yeah. And they don't grow right underneath the magnolia. It's too shady, isn't it?
No, sir. They're very beautiful underneath it.
Really? How high are the lower limbs on the magnolia?
Probably 2 foot up from it.
You do not have junipers living in that dark underbelly of a magnolia tree. I can't believe that.
Yes, sir. They're beautiful. I hate to pull them up. They look so much better than pine straw. However,
yeah.
I have a concern for my magnolia tree.
I hear your concern. I'm just surprised at the situation. I can't even visualize the way that junipers, which love full sunshine, living underneath a 2-foot limbed up magnolia tree. But nonetheless, we're going to go with what is and not what we think is right. The competition, I don't think, is going to be a lot. Junipers, once they're established, don't really need a lot of water. You know this, because junipers prefer dry soil. So they don't suck a lot of water out of the soil and compete for water with the magnolia, nor do they need a lot of nutrients. I wouldn't think that they're just, you know, robbing the magnolia of all the nutrients that you put nearby. If it looks pretty, I don't think it's the juniper's fault that the magnolia is looking thin right now. You've watered. You told me that already. You watered a little bit to make sure that the magnolia got what it needed. There's something else is going on with the magnolia. What could
should I fertilize it? Use tree stakes for the tree?
Nah, I don't like tree stakes. I don't like them much at all. The reasoning is this, that the roots on a magnolia or any plant spread out like a net. You know this. They spread out like a net from the main roots, and they divide, and they spread out further. They divide again. So it makes a little net around the tree, around the drip edge of the limbs. And that's where you should put your fertilizer, out by the drip edge of the tree. But when you put spikes and stakes in the ground, it's just a small area that gets the nutrition, and then there are other unspiked parts away from the tree that don't get anything. So I much prefer granular or liquid fertilizers that are spread at the drip line, at the drip edge of the limbs, rather than spikes. So yes, if you want to fertilize, yes, you can do that. Yes, it might help the magnolia. And I'm a real proponent of the slow-release organic fertilizers. They just provide nutrients at the right pace for shrubs and trees. And so examples include Hollytone, that you can get from Pike. You can get Milorganite, another slow-release fertilizer. You could use cow manure. You can use chicken manure. You could use, I'm sure there are others, at the EB Stone. Like a bunch of EB Stone products at Pike. Sure, they would work great.
It's so thick where the evergreens are, I don't know that I can get down to the actual ground.
Yeah, I just scatter it out there and water it in or wait for rain to come. That'll be fine.
And is now a good time to fertilize it?
Not really. because it's just so cool now that not much photosynthesis is happening. And so as a result, if you fertilize, there's not much regrowth going to happen because it just isn't growing very fast right now. So I don't know that now would be the right time to fertilize. Let's do it again. Let's do it in March of next year.
Okay.
Mid to late March. Yeah, that'd be a good time, Sheila. Try then.
Okay, good deal. Will you save me some hard work pulling those evergreens up?
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
You know, if you will, Sheila, I want to see a picture of this. You got to send me a picture. If I can see junipers growing underneath a magnolia tree, that would be something to see. Please send me
they
pictures.
They are just beautiful. Right. They're not blue rug.
Yeah.
They're not showers, I don't believe. I got them at Home Depot years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where do you want me to send you the picture? I don't Twitter.
Well, you don't have to Twitter. Go to my website, walterreeves.com. Down in the bottom right-hand corner, it says Contact Walter. And bang on that, it'll open up an email program, and you just say, I'm attaching pictures of my magnolia with the junipers growing underneath it. What do you think?
Okay. Thank you very much. I love your show.
Thank you, dear. I love talking to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sheila. 404-872-0750 gets you in to take Sheila's place there. 404-872-0750. And don't forget, I referred Sheila to my website, but there are a lot of things you can do at walterreeves.com that might be useful for you. One of them, or two or three of them, are to follow me on social media. And the reason that I say that's valuable is because when I see things happening as they happen in the landscape, I will post a picture or post a note or post a, I saw this, have you seen this yourself? And so it keeps you up to date with what's going on outside. So on Facebook, it's the Georgia Gardener Facebook page, and the easiest way to do that is from my website. Just click on the little F there, the blue F at walterreeves.com. The same I do for Twitter, same deal, is at Walter Reeves. If you have a Twitter account, at Walter Reeves, it's my Twitter handle. And you can, on Saturday mornings anyway, ask questions, hashtag Ask Walter. But during the week, same thing. I put things on Twitter that I think are interesting that you need to have links and pictures and documentation of what's going on. The other thing that you might find, I think, interesting and informative is Pinterest. Now, if you have a Pinterest account, you have pictures of, you know, food that you like and little cat videos that you like and things like that on Pinterest. But the Walter Reeves Pinterest page only has weeds and their control. That's all it has. So if you're on Pinterest, go to Walter Reeves or search for Walter Reeves, and you'll see that what I have there is weed identification and control, pictures of all the weeds that I could find during this last spring and summer. And I put them there, and that's for your edification to see what the weeds look like. And it has a link there to how to control that particular weed. So if you have chickweed or dollarweed or crabgrass or any of the common weeds as well as some of the uncommon weeds, then you might find that interesting as well on Pinterest. You can sign up for the email newsletter. While we're talking about walterreeves.com, sign up for the email newsletter. Every 2 weeks, every Thursday, every other Thursday, I should say, I send out an email newsletter. Same sort of deal. It's topical topics. It's things that I see, things that I think are interesting, things, knowledge that you need to keep an eye on, because there are pictures that folks have sent in, just like Sheila's going to send me the picture of that magnolia with the junipers. I see the last issue as a guy, oh, bless his heart, Toby says, I have these 8 trees that I planted them in late September. They're all brown. Is there anything I can do for them? And the answer, of course, is no. They are dead. Bruce wrote in one that says, my tulip tree, his magnolia tree, has this gray powder all over the leaves. What do I do about that? And I diagnosed powdery mildew, told him how to treat powdery mildew on the magnolias, and pointed out that the weather at this time of year is perfect for powdery mildew. These cool nights and warm days just make powdery mildew explode on susceptible plants. Well, that's all you can do at walterreeves.com, plus get all the information you need about gardening. Right now it's 7:48. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Plenty of sunshine in store for Metro Atlanta. Not a whole lot of heat this afternoon. Afternoon highs in the upper 60s. No chance to rain throughout the day. Clouds moving in a little bit tonight. 20% chance. Kirk says not much chance of rain, though. You know, low temperatures down into the mid-40s. Are you kidding? Mid-40s tonight? Oh, wow. Stay tuned. Atlanta's most accurate and dependable forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB and the Bulldogs pregame show, 11:30 this morning. Brother Bob out in Sandy Springs joins us on Lawn and Garden. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. Enjoy your show.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I have two questions. What do I do now, and is there any hope?
You know, the dogs are on at 11:30, so we make a plan to visit us for that, and no, there's no hope.
Well, I'm a tech guy, so I understand that.
Bless your heart.
Yes. My fescue overseeding, I did it late, two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I've watered, I prepared wonderfully. And I've watered daily, bright and early in the morning, and I'm having zero success in a large part of the area, and where I tilled and really did almost a flower bed,
yeah.
I'm having at best about 50% success.
Huh.
Some of that is leaves, some of that is, I guess, length of sunshine for the day,
yeah.
But I sure thought 2 weeks ago was not too late.
I did too. I remember saying it 2 weeks ago that it wasn't too late. Because soil temperatures, again, that's the driving thing for germination in the fall, soil temperatures. And I haven't checked, probably, Bob, in 2 weeks. But I think they're still in, at least in the 50s. And 50s are fine for fescue to germinate. So why it has not gone as rapidly as one would think, I don't know. Did you put any kind of starter fertilizer down, Bob?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Lime starter fertilizer. I tilled it, and I say a portion of it, put straw on it.
You know, my feeling is that after just 2 weeks, you still have some time to not worry too much about it. So I think it's Georgia Tech on the radio today, and we'll worry about it next Saturday.
So there is hope.
I think there's hope, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Walter.
All right. Good luck with it, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
404-872-0750. We'll get you in during the next hour of the show at 8:35. Of course, Mickey Gazaway will be with us from Pike Nursery. He'll tell us what is the Pike pick of the weekend. I will guarantee you it'll be something nice that you would like to have in your landscape. She gave me a little heads up on that. So check it out before we get over to Pike this afternoon. It's to go see what's on sale today, 20% off. That's at 8:35 this morning. Don't forget, you can tweet questions to me, hashtag AskWalter. On Twitter, our phone number, 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news.